Welcome to the Scaling Through Structure podcast. I'm your host, Austin LaRoche, and we are here to learn about the winning systems that business leaders use to find success. If you believe in the power of organization, frameworks, and scalable processes, then this is the pod for you. Let's go. All right. Today's guest is Barry LaBove, owner and president of LaBove and Beyond Marketing Communications. How are you doing today, Barry?
Austin, I am doing great. Let's have a lot of fun.
I love it. That's the best way to start. So I've been in the agency game. If I'm being honest, it's about 10 years. I've had an agency of sorts for maybe 16, but I think I had like an LLC as a glorified freelancer there for the first sure. 6 years. You have been in the agency game over 40 years. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's been definitely 40 years, maybe a few more than that. Yes.
Okay. So you've seen a few things. So tell me a little bit about LaBove and how you started, how you grew, and where you are today.
Well, it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it, but it happened. And I was a creative person, and I was in the music field. I was writing songs as a rock musician. My songs sold well under 1 million copies. So I was not making a lot of money, but I enjoyed it. So I had a band, and I was also doing jingles, you know, those irritating little ditties that you hear on the radio, and doing very well. So I had my jingle company and I had my rock band, and I was kind of committing a little bit to each, but I didn't have total commitment. You know, I was kind of playing the field, let's say. And one day, a very large company called me up and said, okay, hey, we have a marketing department. We would like to sell you our equipment and we'll give you all of our work for the next 3 years. So being the great entrepreneur I am, Austin, I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think that really fits. Okay. So, you know, it's like, oh yeah, what a brilliant visionary you are, Barry. So I said, no, I don't think so. I'll give you the names of other companies. So I gave them the names of other agencies and production companies. And I thought, okay, they'll stay away from me. Leave me alone. They called me back again a couple months later, called me again. And they did this time and time. I said, okay, here's some more people to call. Hey, talk to this agency. I went on and on and on. One day, literally a year later, I remember this to this moment, like it was just a second ago, I get a phone call and it's the president of this very large company. And I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar company. And he said, I want to outsource our marketing to you. Will you do it? And I said, look, I have given you the names of dozens of companies and individuals who could do this. Why do you keep asking me? And he said, well, Barry, it's because we trust you. And I went, ooh. So Austin, that hit me like bricks on my chest. Yeah. And I went, okay, let's do it. I'll do it. And the guy said, great. Okay. Come in on Monday. We'll sign the papers. We'll get going. You'll have all our business for the next 3 years. I said, okay, hung up the phone. And Austin, I got off and I didn't know if I should be happy or go into depression because I didn't know what I was walking into. And so your audience might think, hey, what a lucky guy. It turned out great. And he just stumbled into it. Well, I found out that that internal department was a complete disaster. And I inherited their people on purpose. The client said, I don't care if you take the people on. And I thought, no, I'm going to be a great leader. I'll take them on. They hated that company. They hated doing that work. They did not want to do that work anymore. And I thought, oh my gosh, they had 200 jobs that were on backlog that they couldn't get to. I found out 198 of them were bogus. They weren't even real. So I went, oh my gosh, what did I get into? But like entrepreneurs do, I started to figure it out and I really started to understand that, wait a minute, this could be fun and it could be a great creative outlet for me. I thought I loved only music. Turns out I love to be creative. So that is how we started 40 plus years ago.
Okay. And What was the company then and your specialty then, and what is your specialty now?
The specialty then was we went from audio recordings and jingles. At that moment, we then became a full service ad agency, which was video and marketing, you know, advertising, ads, et cetera, which sounds, again, really great. But here's the problem. As a jingle company, I had clients. And guess what? They were all ad agencies. So now I took on the job of being an ad agency, and all of my clients dropped me because I was now a competitor. So I lost all my clients. But it turned out great. So today we are very, very much a full service company, but I hate saying that because we focus on one word, and that is differentiation. So we help clients differentiate what they do in their products, their processes, their services. And then the first thing we help them with, once we identify and name those, is we celebrate those with the most important people in the world, their employees. So we help our customers rally their organizations, rejuvenate their network, and then, yes, achieve great increases in sales and profit.
Wow. And so what size companies are we talking about where we're focusing on getting the message right first, but getting the buy-in from the employees? What is the range of the number of employees?
Well, that's a great question. We have worked with very small businesses, 5 people, 10 people. We just finished a really great assignment with an accounting firm that's a private accounting firm in our area. They're very good friends of ours. But we also work with Harley Davidson, which is multi-billions, Rev Group, which is the world's leading fire truck and ambulance manufacturer. And then some, also an RV company, and they're multi-billions. We work with Macallan Scotch out of Scotland. They're multi-billion. So it's a pretty wide range.
Okay. And so when you're creating these differentiators, you're essentially helping people understand what makes them, you know, unique, or, you know, where, what those value propositions are versus their competitors. Do you have a system or a process that you use? I mean, I'm not asking you to share the secret sauce if it's proprietary, but tell us about how you go in and you're able to get those companies to start speaking and eventually find that differentiator.
We have 5 steps. It is proprietary. It's unique. I'll share them with you. I'm wide open because we do 2 steps that I don't know of one agency that does it out there. And if there is one, I want them to reach out and I want to talk to them. I think it's a great idea. Our first step is what many agencies do, and that is we do what we call a brand assessment. Now, by the way, for your audience, if you're a 1-person company, this works. And if you're a 100-person or a 1,000-person company, it still works the same. Mm-hmm. So we do a brand assessment, and what we do is we talk to the people who lead the company, who are right there being the faces and the hearts of the company, employees, et cetera, as well as the clients, the customer base, and we learn. We listen to what they say. We learn things, Austin, like what is the experience of working at the company? So for an employee, what is the experience? But the customer, what is the experience? Now, I'll share with everyone in the audience, your experience in the eyes of your customer is the same thing as your brand. They don't distinguish it. So if you have a terrible experience, your brand is terrible to them. If you have a wonderful, warm experience and a pretty good product, they're still feeling pretty warm and wonderful about you. So your experience, we want to learn about that. Once we learn that, we do something that nobody else does. And that's our second step. It's called a technical immersion. We immerse ourselves, whether it's a manufacturing company or service company, in what that company delivers, what they do. So if you're a manufacturing company, we go into your facility, your plant, your factory. We're looking at what kind of metallurgy, what kind of technology, what kind of equipment, what kind of processes you have. What do you do that's unique? And in most cases, what's interesting is, and it's like all of us, people are so close too close to what they do that they don't even see the uniqueness. So we're going, wait a minute, does anybody do this? And they go, I think everybody does. I go, no, wait a minute. Everybody does all five steps of what you're doing in this quality control thing. Well, no, we're the only ones that do two of those steps. I go, okay, that could be a unique differentiator. So we find these unique differentiators in that technical immersion. Our third step is we then compile all this and we say, okay, here's our recommendation. Here are the learnings. Here's what you do that, this is important to everybody to hear. Here's what you do that you should not change. And then, yeah, here's some things you might want to change or look at. But we want to make sure you do not change what is really the magic, the essence of what you do. That's our third step. Our fourth step is what every agency does. And some only do this. Some say, this is our first step. That is where we do the execution or creativity. That's where it could be a logo or a slogan. But our thought in this, Austin, is how do you really do justice to a logo or a slogan if you don't know all about why people buy, if you don't understand what is really the culture and the experience at the company, if you don't understand the uniqueness and story behind the products or services being developed, how do you create a really good logo? I mean, I don't think you can. So that's the fourth step, which is we do the execution. And then the fifth step, which I love, is we launch this, but we launch it first to those most important people. If you're a large company, that means your employees. It also means it could be your distributors or your dealers. If you're a small company, it could just be the two of you, the five of you, your families. But you get everybody on the same page. And then, yeah, start telling the world. So it's the five steps. We do the assessment. We do technical immersion. We then have the plan. After that, we do the execution, the creative, and then we launch it internally first.
Okay. So I want to talk about the importance of differentiation. Okay. So I heard what you said, and I think I in the back of my mind know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. And you were talking about like the story behind a logo. And I was like, and there's nothing better than when you see like a perfect logo and there's got that brand story and like you really attach yourself to that brand. But like, what about something like, sometimes I'm like, you know, one of my favorite logos, the Container Store, just perfect Helvetica font. Why is it important to differentiate yourself, even if you go something simple like that?
Well, it's important because otherwise all you're doing is something generic. We have to fight being a commodity in our world today. One example of a logo, we created a logo for a mining company. And so when we were doing our process, our brand reengineering process, and we were talking to their customers, one customer would say, oh, I love their company. I love the such and such Oklahoma division. They go, okay, great. Then we talk to another one. They go, oh, I hate the Texas division. They're terrible. And another one said, I love the China division. And then another one said, oh, I hate the Japanese division. And we went back and forth and we thought, you know, what's interesting is this isn't one company. This is literally seven companies, seven personalities. And it's time they started to act as one. So we hid the number one inside of their logo. Their middle letter, I won't go into who it was, but their middle letter was an R. And instead of just a normal R, we had a one instead of a straight, you know, straight looking R. We had a one in there. And we said to their employees, take a look. Do you see the number one? And we circled it and they all looked at it. We said, okay, every time you look at this, you will see the number one every single time. And it's because we are not such and such Oklahoma or China or Japan or Texas. We are one company. Now that logo from a distance looks very simple, Austin, but it's got a story to it. Otherwise, just, you know, go to AI and get something cheap and it looks like everybody else. And my point, I'll share one thing for the audience too, because you have a great audience out there. If you're thinking you need a new logo or you have customers who want new logos and you don't really have anything more to go than let's just do something new and cool, don't do it. It's a waste of time. It causes confusion. It waters down everything else you did. If you're going to create a brand new image, make sure there's a story behind it. Make sure you can tell people about how it was created and why. That gives your meaning far more depth than, hey, here's something that looks nice. It's just like Amazon with the little arrow with that's a smile, right? And I think we all know this, but the arrow goes from A to the letter Z in Amazon. Well, that's because you can buy anything from A to Z. And what is it? It's a smile. So what a beautiful logo, right? I mean, it's brilliant.
Absolutely. And it's so simple too. What I like about what you're saying is in a different approach. I think a lot of customers, when it's time for a rebrand or something isn't working within the marketing and they're open to making this big change, they think about the customer and obviously that's really important. But what I've been hearing is getting the initial buy-in from the employees is just as important, right? And I think for companies, obviously customers typically are the lifeblood, but the people who are able to fulfill the promise that the company makes to those customers, and those people being in the product many times, is essential. So talk to me about that balance of thinking about the internal employees versus the end user when you're going through this process.
You were just asking a few moments ago about the importance of differentiation. If we look at it today, more employees or workers are disenfranchised. They're going like, I don't care. I just do this for a living. I don't care. I'm making this amount of money. I can quit. I can work from home. I can work down the street. It doesn't really matter. The media quite often portrays businesses and their leaders as either incompetent or greedy people making too much money, or sometimes a unique combination of both, which, by the way, is pretty hard to be completely incompetent and incredibly successful. So we're getting a steady diet of that. And our employees, our people, our team hear that all the time. We have to, as leaders, give our people a reason to do what they do, a meaning, a sense of significance that they will not necessarily get elsewhere. Part of that also involves their performance. So if a person does not think what they're doing has any meaning and that the bosses aren't going to tell them anything and what they do is the same as everyone else, it doesn't really matter. Okay, somebody in the audience, tell me why you expect that person to do their very best. Why should they do their best job at work? Why should they ask their friends to come to work and join them? Why should they stay at that job? There's no reason. So we have to let people know that, hey, wait a minute, what you're doing is actually meaningful. You're actually helping people. At my company, as an example, we're a service provider. I mean, we work with clients all over the world. Our job, and we have to share with our employees, our job is we are the people behind great people and brands. We want our client to look like a hero. We want his or her brand to look like heroes. That's why we're there. We're not there to get attention. We're not there to tell the client they don't know what they're doing. We're there to give them the support. And that gives us a blank check to say, hey, you know what? I think you need to relook this because this thing isn't the way it really ought to be. We think you need a different strategy here, as opposed to us just saying, okay, what do you want? We're order takers. So if my company turns into order takers, we're really not the people behind great people. We're just the order takers taking orders. That's my company. So if you look at the audience and their companies and their clients, there has to be a purpose. Some companies out there, Austin, are literally helping to save lives. So it could be an ambulance company. It could be a fire truck company. Those people are helping to save lives. There, if you build a fire truck and you're just the guy plugging in a wire harness, you are helping to save people because you're supporting those first responders that have to depend on what you do. And if you truly believe that, Austin, you're probably going to plug that harness in better. you're probably going to make sure people that are doing their jobs on the line are doing them right, because, hey, people, we're here to save lives, and we've got to help that first responder take care of his or her job out there. That's how important it is. And that's why we have to look at it. It is a balance, but the very hearts and minds of our brands are our people and the others who are behind our brands, and they have to believe.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think with especially employee retention these days, I've done enough research into this to realize there's about four areas people really look at. You know, you got to have a good manager. You got to feel like you're able to, sharpen your skills, learn new things, be able to raise in your ability to perform. And then third, you need to autonomy. Sorry. Third one is autonomy. Everybody wants to be able to, everybody wants to not be micromanaged until they're off on the swimming pool alone. Right. And then the fourth one is purpose. They want to be somewhere where they feel like they're making a difference. And I think what you do is really impactful in that lots of companies do have this deeper purpose that they can't articulate. And if they can't get their people to buy into it, how the heck are they supposed to get prospects to buy into it, to become customers? So I think that's a really, really fascinating angle. And so tell me about the business. How is it structured? You've been doing this for over 40 years. Are you still involved in the day-to-day?
Yeah, even though I'm an ancient person, I'm still involved every day. I have a couple people who are buying in that will be full-sized, full-fledged members of the ownership group in a very short period of time, a couple of years. We have our main office in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We are hybrid, so we are in the office many days, but we have days where we're not in the office. In addition to that, we have offices in Dallas and in Phoenix. So we're spread apart like that. We work as a team. We are, to a fault and to an extreme, very collaborative, almost to the point where it's not the way some people want to work. It sounds great if you say, oh, we're collaborative. That's not for everybody. So we are the type of company where we're bouncing ideas off for each other. We're, we're listening closely. We're jamming. That's one of our core values, is jamming, like a music jam. So we're constantly doing that. So this is a nonstop collaborative environment from the time you walk in to the time you go home every night.
Nice. And so what about your internal brand? What is that purpose that you push to all of your employees that makes them excited to come to work every day?
My internal brand is, I want to help people achieve and enjoy something in their career that they could not get anywhere else. So I see in people what they are capable of being and capable of doing. I think I'm good at that. Now, sometimes people don't want to do those things. I'll say, you know what? You'd be great at this and this and that. They go, I don't want to do that. And it's like, okay. But my position in the company is to identify people's strengths, to honor their uniqueness, to not try to turn them into what everyone else looks like, and to give them a chance to achieve or create, because you don't know where your next great idea comes from. It could come from anybody in the company, any position, any tenure of employment. So to me, I'm trying to represent opportunity and a very positive enjoyment of what you do. I'm trying to give people that meaning, that purpose, as you just said, in their day-to-day work with me.
That's awesome. And I mean, you've been an entrepreneur then for 40 years. So that, you know, you've probably gone through some different changes. You've seen different economies, you've seen ups and downs. How have you been able to kind of balance life and work over that time period?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if I balance anything. I'm not really good at balancing. So, I am who I am at work, and I am who I am, the same person at home. As I've gotten older, I pay more attention to my levels of energy, excitement, interest, and things like that. I will pursue those areas where I have the most energy and interest, of course. I, even when I was completely obsessed and focused on my business, I was coaching my son's baseball teams and my daughter's basketball teams. I'm not a good athlete, and I'm a, more of a cheerleader than a coach, but I did not miss a game. I was there, and I talk to my employees when they start having their kids, and I go, look, I want you to be away from work when your son is playing baseball or your daughter's playing softball or your kids are going to do the recital. You better not be in the office saying, well, I sure wish I could be there, because you don't want to miss those things. So as hard driving a person as I might appear to be, I did not miss any of those things. I saw every one of my son's college pitching performances, and he started, I don't know how many dozen times in college, and my wife and I saw every single start. And that wasn't easy, because they were in many different states, so they weren't just down the street. So I think you don't compromise in business in that. This is just me as an old guy saying this. You don't compromise in business as far as your ethics and your standards. You just don't. But you don't compromise in your personal life, which is ethics, standards, focusing on your family. And I think it's up to you, if you really think you're creative, find a creative way to do a great job on that project and be a phenomenal father or mom to that child or those children. And to me, that's the challenge I'd give somebody.
Yeah, I talk to other entrepreneurs about that a lot, right? It's like some people are doing really well in the business community, but they're stressed out of their mind. They can't. And, you know, sometimes I try and help people take a step back and go, like, what? We went out on our own for a reason. Like, we're not good. We're not good at following rules, all that. And what we get is freedom. You know, that's the positive. We also have a massive amount of stress and the responsibility to, you know, look out after all the people that we lead. But what are we doing any of this for if we're not, like, fulfilling our own purpose, which in your example really is that family, and making sure that they know that no matter, you know, why you're doing it. And I'm glad that that's always great when you hear people who figure that out. Did you always know that? Were there some slip ups? Was there that, like, one recital you missed and you went, never again? How did that work?
That's a great question. You know, that I never thought about that, Austin. That's really good. I don't want to compromise. All right. I hate to compromise. And I think once I had my children, I'm going, I don't want to compromise. But I also looked at my business and I thought, I don't want to compromise. And I put, if anything, the pressure on me to figure a way to inspire people around me to do something smarter, quicker, better at work, but not compromise, to make sure I was totally there when I was with the kids. And I, you know, like I said, as determined as I am, and I know a lot of people think, oh my, yeah, this guy's crazy, you know, and all this, my kids did not skip a beat. I mean, I was there with them on all these things. I was home every night early, changing diapers. That was a big thing. That's another thing. I tell all the guys who are having kids, change the diapers. And they go, I don't want to change diapers. I go, oh no, you got to. It's where you bond. It's the best time. It's incredible. Change the diapers. You got to do that stuff. That gives your wife, in my case, she gives your wife a break. My gosh, she deserves a break. So that's what we did. And it was a team effort with my wife and me. And we've been together for 40 plus years. So it was a journey for the two of us. It was mostly a very pleasurable journey. But again, I go back to, if you are the sad sack entrepreneur who says, oh, I don't see my kids, poor me. Or you're the sad sack entrepreneur who said, I could do so much more, but, you know, my wife makes me do this and these kids are killing me. To me, I think, you know what? I don't even want to hear it. You can do better than that. I challenge anybody that I know to go, now, wait a minute. Even if you're not supposedly an entrepreneur, but you're working at a company that's halfway decent, look at what you need to be totally in the game to do a great job at your career. And allow yourself the option to say, hey, I'm going to be flexible over here. I'm going to come in late these 2 days because my kids have the recital, or I'm going to leave early because of this, and talk to people and just be humble and caring and say, hey, I'd like to be able to see my kid do blank and blank. Here's what I'm doing. I got it figured out. I got all this done in advance. How's that work? And people are going to go, that's great. I just say no room for compromise.
I love this. No room for compromise. I don't want to have to negotiate with you ever. I'll tell you that right now. that's great. So, what's next for LaBeouf? It sounds like you said you got some people who are buying in, and it's going to be the next wave of the company. Where do you see the company going in the next few years?
We're expanding. During COVID, we were concerned that we would lose a step, and we actually grew dramatically during COVID, which was phenomenal. Since that time, it's been a very, very positive growth, not out of control, but very positive. Where we're going next is we're promoting a book that will be coming out in June called The Power of Differentiation. We're going to be working with clients on that. So we'll be helping clients more and more on that. People reach out to me on my website. I talk with them all the time, whether it's texts or emails. So I help there. I'm doing some podcasts. We're going to start our own podcast. My goal is I want to move the hearts and minds of 1 million people with our message.
Awesome. That is fantastic. And where can the audience find you?
My company is LaBeouf, LaBeouv. So LaBeouf.com. My name is Barry. So my personal site's BarryLaBeouf.com. Go there. Send me a message. Click on some of the free documents that you can get. We have some free downloads. Nobody has to give their email address away. Take a look at what we're doing. Like I said, start a conversation.
Awesome. And the book comes out in June?
June 25th, Simon & Schuster. It'll be up for pre-sale, so you can ask for information on that. And once it goes for pre-sale, we'll send you an email to let you know.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Barry. This was fantastic.
Austin, you're tremendous. I love your show, and the energy and clarity of what you do is second to none.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Scaling Through Structure podcast. This pod was produced by Sabrina. If you liked what you heard, do us a favor and subscribe or leave a 5-star review on the platform of your choice. If you want to be a guest and share with the world your winning system, head over to podcast.atakinteractive.com/guest and fill out your information accordingly. To connect, send me an invite at www.linkedin.com/in/AustinLaRoche. That's AustinLaRoche. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners, but especially you. Until next time, I'm Austin LaRoche, and we will see you soon.